दिगंबर मोंग स्वामी समर्थ भट्टाचार्य ग्लोरिफाइड दिस अर्थ बाय हिज डिवाइन प्रेजेंस ड्यूरिंग थर्ड सेंचुरी एंड इनकम्पेरेबल मास्टर ऑफ लॉजिक ग्रामर एस्ट्रोलॉजी प्रोसिडी एंड पोएट्री हिज इनक्रेडिबल वर्क ऑफ फिलोसफी एंड स्पिरिचुअल राइटिंग्स हैव गिवन जैनिज्म लिटरेचर न्यूअर हाइट्स While he is considered the first ever writer of the verses of adoration, his devotional works exhibit his unworldly power of exposing religious truth in succinctly logical and deeply simple manners. He is remembered as one of the greatest debater of all times. Inspired by his life, today we, the Chaidhala class and Manish Bhai Subban of Mona, present to you Aapni Mansa, Aditi's Assessment. Based on real incidences of Acharya Samanth Bhadra's life, this play uses his timeless creation, the Aapni Mansa, which critically evaluates a deity as its basis. Come, let us all get amazed by his thought-provoking inner and outer life.
Once upon a time, in the city of Urakpur, in the ranks of Kadamba dynasty, there took birth a prince named Shanti Varma. The prince, right from his childhood, was strongly averse to worldly possessions. His mind, full of wisdom, used to be agitated for psychic happiness and searched for true happiness. As a result, the prince, at his very princely age, initiated into the order of Digambar Jain sainthood. Soon, through rigorous penances and great abstinence, he excelled in his inner self. Unfortunately, in his early days of monkhood, his body infected itself with a disease of bhasma. In this disease, the patient suffers from indefinite hunger and needs to eat a lot of food to survive. Since the Jain monks do not eat much, it was impossible for him to survive Jain Diksha with this disease. After giving lot of his thoughts, one day, he approaches his Acharya.
Scene 1. Jungle. Acharya is sitting on a rock. Samanth Bhadra enters and bows down to Acharya and takes place near him.
Namostu Gurudev.
Sadharma Vriddhi Rastu Putra. How is it behaving? The disease your neighbor has infected itself with?
O Lord, please gratify me by giving me Salekhna. I have tried so hard. I can stand against all the adversities, Parisha, Sarg, but this disease, my Lord, it just snatches away all the power from his body if remained unfed. Dev, I will not be able to continue practicing Muni Dharma because of this Basmug disease his body has infected itself with. Guide me. Please give me Salekhna and let me celebrate this occasion by taking Samadhi Maran.
Dear Samanth Bhadra, I know your capabilities and I understand the severity of this disease. From the indications and signs, it appears that you are destined to do a great service to Jainism. You have a longer life to live ahead. It would not be an appropriate decision to give you Salekhna at present. Go, Samanth Bhadra, quit the monkhood and get cured of your disease. When it's gone, come back and reinitiate into Muni Diksha. Then you can continue your spiritual journey towards greater inner peace again. I have full faith that you will not deviate from the great Jainism.
Okay, Acharya Dev, as you envision and guide. It is a pity that I have to quit this pristine monkhood which transforms a mundane soul into godhood. I may be quitting the monkhood, but will never quit this great Jina way of discovering and enjoying my own self. Take my word, O Dev, that there is only the Jinendra Dev and his religion before which my head would ever bow down to. I will always be the upright follower of this great religion. Now give me leave, Guru Dev.
Dharma Vriddhi Bhav Samanth Bhadra.
Samanth Bhadra quitted the Digambar Jain Muni Diksha and left to cure the Basmak disease. He roamed to different countries, one kingdom to another, in search of food to satisfy his hunger. To get enough food, he started disguising himself in the famous forms which world respected. Once, He put ashes of fire all over his body and camouflaged himself to be a Hindu saint. It worked. He got food. Yet the food wasn't enough. Then he pretended to be a Buddhist monk, which were very famous in those days. Yet this again did not help him gather enough food to serve his hunger. He kept changing his outfits to get food until one day when he reached the city of Kanchi. In this city, there was a huge Shiva temple to which daily large number of food offerings were made by the followers to the idol of that deity Shiva. Needless to say, all that offered food was then thrown away. We all know stones don't and can't eat. Samantabhadra observed it and had an instant idea. He quickly transformed himself into the costumes of Brahmin and left to approach the king.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi, is sitting on his royal chair along with his two ministers on either side. The Brahmin enters.
O King, such a lucky day it is today for you. The Shiva has sent his true devotee to your city.
O Brahmin, welcome. What a lucky day it is that a Brahmin's feet purify my court. Tell me, from where you come?
King, I have come to you as a true devotee of Shiva. I was shocked to see the waste citizens of your kingdom make of the food that is offered to your lord, Shiva. So I have come to you to show how exactly the adoration is done which pleases the lord.
Oh, noble Brahmin, I did not understand. What do you propose?
Simple. It is utterly important for me that my lord is not insulted. So allow me, O King, and with my heartfelt true prayers, I will invite your lord Shiva to eat his offerings.
You claim that with your prayer, the lord himself will come out to eat?
Yes, King. The lord do not get easily pleased by offerings made to them. They don't like offerings of naive followers. I am a true follower and can do prayer well. So allow me, and I shall make your lord accept your prayers.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me discuss it with my ministers. Ministers, what do you advise?
Lord, as the food is wasted anyways, there is no wrong in giving this Brahmin a chance.
Yes, my lord, and if he fails to do so, what harm is there to us? We can punish him for the lies he speaks to your highness.
Well, well. Okay, dear Brahmin, go, adore my lord Shiva, and invite him to accept our offerings. Serve the great Shiva's temple, and satisfy our lord Shiva.
Samantabhadra, disguising himself as Shiva, following Brahmin, started living at that temple. Every day, tons of food is offered to Shiva in that temple. Every afternoon, Samantabhadra closes the door from the inside, saying that now the Lord shall eat, and then eats all the offered food. When finished, opens the doors again for everybody to see. Seeing the whole offerings gone, king and citizens used to wonder and believe that finally their Lord Shiva started accepting their offerings. Nobody could imagine a person eating all that quantity of food. Thus, nobody doubted the Brahmin. Now, the temple started receiving more and more offerings every day because of this wonder. Samantabhadra was enjoying his tenure as keeper of temple. Slowly, as he was getting enough quantity of food for his hunger, his Bhasmak disease started to cure, and gradually, his hunger started diminishing. Now, he could not eat all that was offered to Shiva, and as a result, to everybody's surprise, Shiva started eating less food. One day, observing the leftover food, King summoned his ministers to his court.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi, is sitting on his royal chair, along with his two ministers on either side.
Ministers, I have been made aware of the leftovers of food at the temple of Lord Shiva. It is unusual. Lord Shiva used to eat everything, but now he is not. I do not find it a good sign. Advise.
My lord, true, I visited the temple yesterday and saw the leftovers. I am afraid perhaps the Lord Shiva is angry on us.
Minister, I also feel the same way. What is your view of this, Minister?
My lord, upon knowing of this highly unlikely incident last evening, I sent our spies to gather some trustworthy information in this matter. I am waiting for them only. They should be here any time now.
Very well, Minister.
Old spies, good to see you right at the moment. Tell us what information you carry.
Lord, the information that we gathered would surprise you. We are afraid you would not believe us and may reward us with a punishment too. We are afraid, Lord.
Oh, spies, worry not. Tell us what you know and you shall not be punished.
Lord, we were inside the temple, hidden, when the Brahmin closed the doors, claiming, "Now the Lord shall eat." And what we saw after that was breathtakingly shocking, Lord. We were already too afraid that Lord Shiva might appear, but...
But what? Say quickly.
Sir, we saw no Lord Shiva coming inside the temple, but that Brahmin himself started eating the tons of offerings lying there. He was eating it with such a great pace, it looked like he never had food before in his life.
What? The noble Brahmin himself was eating?
Yes, yet he could not eat all. Thus, the leftovers. Also, for the whole day and night, we stayed there. O King, you would be surprised that he did not bow down to Lord Shiva, even for once.
What rubbish! How is it possible for a human to eat so much of food?
And he is a great devotee to Lord Shiva, you liars.
We already warned you, sir. What we saw is not easy to believe, but trust us.
If what these spies are saying is true, that Brahmin lied to me. How could he, and why would he?
Maybe. We shall look for the history of this Brahmin.
Dear Lord, we sent a few more spies to inquire about the Brahmin's past already. And the information we received from our friends is equally shocking.
Tell us quickly, spy, quickly, say.
King, the Brahmin is a prince of the Kadam dynasty, which rules over the kingdom of Urukpur. His name used to be Shanti Verma, until he became a Digambar Jain monk. Since then, he is called Samantabhadra.
What? A Digambar Jain monk?
Thou liar.
Tell us more, spy. How did he end up here?
So, while practicing monkhood, he got infected with Pasmuk disease, which causes extreme hunger. He then quitted the monkhood upon the order of his acharya and was roaming in the country to cure his hunger. And then he found you, King, and this temple.
A Jain monk? That is why he does not bow down to Lord Shiva?
Yes, Lord. These Jains are too strict and do not bow down to any other lord but the Jinnah.
Oh, King, I think we must go and find out ourselves by attuning this Brahmin.
Yes, yes, Minister. Thank you, spies. Your services have been of great use. You shall be rewarded. Collect your rewards. Come, ministers, let us go and see that liar.
Furious, the king with both his ministers headed towards the temple. As they reached, they found the Brahmin meditating. Samanbhadra was doing samayik and was praising his true deity, Lord Arhanta and the five Parameshris. His bhasmak disease was finally cured and he was happy that he can again initiate into the Jain monkhood. The angry king waits for him to come out of the meditation. After a while, he opens his eyes. Looking at the furious king, Samanbhadra quickly predicts what must have had happened. A few citizens also gathered inside the temple, seeing the king and minister.
Brahmin is standing in one side and king and ministers on the other. Citizens are scattered.
Oh, Brahmin, how was your meeting with Lord Shiva today?
Well, king, it appears Lord Shiva is not well these days. Today, when he came, he did not look much hungry and left food leftovers.
You liar to the king? How could an idol eat food? You've been fooling all of us.
Yes, Brahmin, we have discovered who you are and what you have been doing all these days.
Oh, so finally sanity and wisdom. Finally, sanity and wisdom has found you people. Of course idols can't eat. I did not make a fool of any one of you. You were all fools already. I just took advantage of that fact.
What? So Lord Shiva never ate what we offered to him so religiously?
Think for yourself. How is it possible for matter to eat? Do your cooking utensils eat your food that you keep it in? No. And why would your Lord Shiva, if he is Lord, need you to feed him? Is he poor? Does he not have anything to eat? You thoughtless fools.
How could you call me a fool, Brahmin?
Sorry, King, but you yourself prove you are.
So you say you don't believe Shiva to be your deity?
Yes, he's not a deity. Not for me, not for anyone. Those who are burning with rag and dwesh themselves, how can they be happy? And if they are not happy, how can they be called Lord?
How does a true deity look like if not like Shiva, then, O Brahmin?
A true deity is someone who is completely, truly happy. The one who is truly and eternally happy is the Lord Jinnah, the only deity I bow down to.
Why do you praise Jinnah? What does he have? What does he do?
Oh, I have heard about Jinnah. They have devas from Devgati coming to their Samasharan. They have so much of wealth, glory, and they walk on the air. So many devas always keep praising them.
Oh, naive citizen. Deva gamna bhoyana chambaradi vibhutaya maya vishwapidashyante natas pramasi no mahan. I bow down to Jinnah not because he has devas coming from the heavens to serve him, not because he walks above the earth, and nor because he has so much of wealth in his Samvatsaran. It is possible for any elusive being to own all of these. These glories does not make Lord Jinnah adorable.
Oh, then must be, as he has celestial being like body and supernatural internal and external qualities. That must be the reason that you adore him.
No, minister. These qualities, if not by an elusive being, but could easily be possessed by the celestial beings. Thus, these qualities also do not qualify to be a reason for me to bow down to Jinnah.
See, in our great scripture, the Shiva is deity. In your scripture, Jinnah is deity. So for us, Shiva is true Lord, and for you, Jinnah is. Maybe you bow down to Jinnah because your scriptures tell you to do so.
Tirthakrat samayanam tra parasparvi virodata sarvesham aptata nasti kashi deva bhavet guru. There are so many writers and propagators of religious scriptures and The teachings have given by them are contradictory to each other. Thus, all of them cannot be true. Only one of them would be a true deity. Therefore, logically speaking, not all scriptures and not all religions could be true because truth is always one and universal. Therefore, your argument is wrong in you. I do not adore my deity just because it's said to do so in Jain scriptures.
Then what qualities make a deity adorable? Tell us, O Brahmin.
Listen. Dosha varan yorha nir nisheshasyati shayanat ka chityati ka chidyata sohetu bhyo bahirantar malakshaya. Just as in the world, only the true pure gold is admired, not the one with impurity. The greatness of a true deity lies in omniscience and complete detachment. The one who is without all impurities, delusions, attachments, and aversions, and whose all the karmic matter, karmic mistakes like Jnanavaran, etc. have been destroyed, is the true deity. Such is the true deity I bow down to.
Is it possible for someone to have omniscience?
Why not? Whatever is known by inference is seen by someone for sure. Just as we infer the presence of smoke that there must be fire, somebody witnesses the fire as well. Likewise, the subtle, internal, and distant objects known by inference are seen by someone directly. This is how existence of omniscience is proved.
Okay, though omniscience is possible, but there can be no person who is completely detached and passionless.
No, it is possible to be completely detached and passionless. Just as in world, impure gold stones, with the help of fire, becomes pure, discarding all internal and external impurities, the same way with the fire of meditation of pure self, a soul can be freed from its blemishes and completely detached.
Yes, what you say sounds so true and fits to logic as well.
Therefore, I bow down to only one who is omniscient and passionless.
Citizens were finding the Brahmin's word very logical and started praising for his assessment of the qualities of two deity. They were already praising the true Lord Jina amongst themselves. Left unanswered and insulted, the king gets aside with his ministers for a private discussion. The ministers were feeling insulted and revengeful. They encouraged king to avenge their lost pride by making Samanbhadra bowing down to Lord Shiva. King finds it rightful to do to punish Samanbhadra. They resume.
Oh, Brahmin, you are Jain monk Samanbhadra. You cheated us all. You made a fool of us. No doubt you are great with your oratory, but here, those who insult the throne are punished. I hereby order you to bow down to Lord Shiva for deceivingly eating his share of offerings. It is your punishment.
Oh, King, this head does not bow down in front of anyone but the Jinnah.
King did not order a death for you. You're lucky. Just bow down and leave happily.
My head is not a toy. It has its own pride, unlike yours. It doesn't bow down in front of people who don't deserve to be bowed down to.
It's a king's order. You have to follow it.
I have no problem in bowing down to Lord Shiva, but I warn you all again. I am doubtful that your Lord Shiva will be able to digest my bow. Are you sure, King, that I bow down to him?
Yes, bow down. I take all the responsibility of what follows. You bow down to him.
Okay, good luck to your lord. Here, this Jain believer, Samanbhadra, bows down to the idol of Shiva, yet bows down to the Jinnah. Here I go. Satvameva si nirdosho yukti shastra virodiva avirodo yadishtam te prasidin na bhadyate.
The Shiva idol tears apart and the Jina idol resurrects from it.
Look, look, the Shiva's idol is tearing apart. My goodness, it is an earthquake approaching.
Oh, what is that thing resurrecting out of the torn Shiva idol?
It is the idol of Jinnath Titankar Chandrapab Bhagwan.
Oh, Lord Samanabhadra, we mistook you. Pardon us. Jinnah is the true Lord.
Yes, Jinnah is the truest of all. May long live the Jinnah.
Oh, king and citizen, I bow to the Jinnah because I have examined him myself. If you want to follow a deity, assess him for yourself. You cannot believe unless you assess yourself. May long live the Jainism.
Yes,
may long live the Jainism.
And from that day on, the Tarkic Chakravarti Swami Samanbhadra reinitiated his spiritual journey of Jain sainthood, which in its own pious tenure shattered the pride of perverted orators of different religious thoughts. I roam about and roar like a lion for the exposition of religious truth. Come and debate with me if you dare, was the precise introduction he devoted to himself. Long live Swami Samanbhadra Acharya. Long live Jinnah Dev. Long live Jainism.
The great Digambar monk, Swami Samanbhadra Acharya, glorified this earth by his divine presence during 3rd century. An incomparable master of logic, grammar, astrology, prosody and poetry, his incredible works of philosophy and spiritual writings have given Jainism literature new heights. While he is considered the first ever writer of the verses of adoration, his devotional works exhibit his unworldly power of exposing religious truths in succinctly logical and deeply simpler manner. He is remembered as one of the greatest debaters of all time. Inspired by his life, today we, the Chaidala class and Manish Bhai's group 1 of Mona, present to you Apni Mansa, a deity's assessment. Based on real incidences of Acharya Samanbhadra's life, this play uses his timeless creation, the Apni Mansa, which critically evaluates a deity as its basis. Come, let us all get amazed by his thought-provoking inner and outer life.
Once upon a time, in the city of Urakpur, in the ranks of Kadam dynasty, there took birth a prince named Shanti Varma. The prince, right from his childhood, was strongly averse to worldly possessions. His mind full of wisdom used to be agitated for psychic happiness and searched for true happiness. As a result, the prince, at his very princely age, initiated into the order of Digambar Jain sainthood. Soon, through rigorous penances and great abstinence, he excelled inner self. Unfortunately, in his early days of monkhood, his body infected itself with a disease of bhasmak. In this disease, the patient suffers from indefinite hunger and needs to eat a lot of food to survive. Since the Jain monks don't eat much, it was impossible for him to survive Jain Diksha with this disease. After giving lot of his thoughts, one day he approaches his Acharya.
Acharya is sitting on a rock. Samanbhadra enters and bows down to Acharya and takes place near him.
Namo Sugurudev.
Sadharma Vriddhi Rastuputra. How is it behaving? The disease your neighbor has infected itself with?
Oh Lord, please gratify me by giving me Salegna. I have tried so hard. I can stand against all the adversities, Parisha, Upsarg, but this disease, my Lord, it just snatches away all the power from this body if remained unfed. Dev, I would not be able to continue practicing Muni Dharma because of this Bhasmak disease this body has affected itself with. Guide me. Please give me Salekhna and let me celebrate this occasion by taking Samadhi Maran.
Dear Samanbhadra, I know your capabilities and I understand the severity of this disease. From the indications and signs, it appears that you are destined to do a great service to Jainism. You have a longer life to live ahead. It would not be an appropriate decision to give you Salekhna at present. Go, Samanbhadra, quit the monkhood and get cured of your disease. When it's gone, come back and reinitiate into Muni Diksha. Then you can continue your spiritual journey towards greater inner peace again. I have full faith that you will not deviate from the great Jainism.
Okay, Acharya Dev, as you envision and guide. It is a pity that I have to quit this pristine monkhood, which transforms a mundane soul into godhood. I may be quitting the monkhood, but will never quit this great Jina way of discovering and enjoying my own self. Take my word, O Dev, that there is only the Jinendra Dev and his great religion before my head would ever bow down. I will always be the upright follower of this great religion. Now, give me leave, Gurudev.
Dharam Vriddhi Bhav Samanbhadra.
Samanbhadra quitted the Digambar Jain Muni Diksha and left to cure the Bhasmak disease. He roamed to different countries, one kingdom to another, in the search of food to satisfy his hunger. To get enough food, he started disguising himself in the famous forms which world respected. Once he put ashes of fire all over his body and camouflaged himself to be a Hindu saint. It worked. He got food, yet the food wasn't enough. Then he pretended to be a Buddhist monk, which were very famous in those days. Yet this again did not help him gather enough food to serve his hunger. He kept changing his outfits to get food until one day, when he reached the city of Kanchi. In this city, there was a huge Shiva temple to which daily large number of food offerings were made by the followers to the idol of their deity Shiva. Needless to say, all that offered food was then thrown away. We all know stones don't and can't eat. Samanbhadra observed it and had an instant idea. He quickly transformed himself into the costumes of Brahman and left to approach the king.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi, is sitting on his royal chair along with his two ministers on either side, the Brahmin itself.
O King, such a lucky day it is for you. The Shiva has sent his true devotee to your city.
O Brahmin, welcome. What a lucky day it is that a Brahmin's feet purify my court. Tell me, from where do you come?
King, I have come to you as a true devotee of Shiva. I was shocked to see the waste citizens of your kingdom make of the food that is offered to your Lord Shiva. So I have come to show you how exactly the adoration is done which pleases the Lord.
Oh, noble Brahmin, I did not understand. What do you propose?
Simple. It is utterly important for me that my lord is not insulted. So allow me, O King, and with my heartfelt true prayers, I will invite Lord Shiva to eat his offerings.
You claim that with your prayer, the Lord himself will come to eat?
Yes, King. The lords do not get easily pleased by offerings made to them. They don't like offerings of naive followers. I am a true follower and can do prayer well. So allow me, and I shall make your Lord accept your prayers.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me discuss it with my ministers. Ministers, what do you advise?
Lord,
As the food is wasted anyways, there is no wrong in giving this Brahmin a chance.
Yes, my lord. And if he fails to do so, what harm is there to us? We can punish him for the lies he speaks to your highness.
Very well. Okay, dear Brahmin, go, adore my lord Shiva, and invite him to accept our offerings. Serve the great Shiva's temple, and satisfy our lord Shiva.
Very well, king, very well.
Samanbhadra, disguising himself as Shiva, following Brahmin, started living at that temple. Every day, tons of food is offered to Shiva in that temple. Every afternoon, Samanbhadra closes the doors from inside, saying that now the Lord shall eat, and then eats all the offered food. When finished, opens the doors again for everybody to see. Seeing the whole offerings gone, king and citizens used to wonder and believed that finally their Lord Shiva started accepting their offerings. Nobody could imagine a person eating all that quantity of food. Thus, nobody doubted the Brahmin. Now, the temple started receiving more and more offerings every day because of this wonder. Samanbhadra was enjoying his tenure as keeper of temple. Slowly, as he was getting enough quantity of food for his hunger, his Bhasmak disease started to cure and gradually his hunger started diminishing. Now, he could not eat all that was offered to Shiva. And as a result, to everybody's surprise, Shiva started eating less food. One day, observing the leftover food, King summoned his ministers to his court.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi is sitting on the royal chair, along with his two ministers on either side.
Ministers, I have been made aware of the leftovers of food at the temple of Lord Shiva. It is unusual. Lord Shiva used to eat everything, but now he is not. I do not find it a good sign. Advise.
My lord, true. I visited the temple yesterday and saw the leftovers. I'm afraid perhaps the Lord Shiva is angry on us.
Minister. I also feel the same way. What is your view of this, Minister?
My lord, upon knowing of this highly unlikely incident last evening, I sent our spies to gather some trustworthy information in this matter. I am awaiting for them only. They should be here any time now.
Very well, Minister.
A couple of spies enter the court.
Oh, spies, good to see you right at the moment. Tell us what information you carry.
Lord, the information that we gathered would surprise you. We are afraid you would not believe us and may reward us with a punishment too. We are too afraid, Lord.
Oh, spies, worry not. Tell us what you know and you shall not be punished.
Lord, we were inside the temple hiding when the Brahmin closed the doors, claiming, "Now the Lord shall eat." And what we saw after that was breathtakingly shocking, Lord. We were already too afraid that Lord Shiva might appear.
But what? Say quickly.
Sir, we saw no Lord Shiva coming inside the temple, but that Brahmin himself started eating the tons of offerings lying there. He was eating it with such great pace, it looked like he had never had food before in his life.
What? The noble Brahmin himself was eating?
Yes, and yet he could not eat all, thus the leftovers. Also, for the whole day and night that we stayed there, O king, you would be surprised that he did not bow down to Lord Shiva, even for once.
What rubbish! How is it possible for a human to eat so much of food?
And he is a great devotee to Lord Shiva. You liars!
We already warned you, sir, that what we saw is not easy to believe. But trust us.
If what these spies are saying is true, that Brahmin lied to me. How could he? And why would he?
Maybe. We shall look for the history of this Brahmin.
Dear Lord, we sent a few more spies to inquire about the Brahmin's past already, and the information we received from our friends is equally shocking.
Tell us quickly, spy, quickly say.
King, the Brahmin is a prince of Kadam dynasty, which rules over the kingdom of Urukpur. His name used to be Shantivarma, until he became a Digambar Jain monk. Since then, he is called Samantbhadra.
What? A Digambar Jain monk?
That liar!
Tell us more, spy. How did he end up here?
So, while practicing monkhood, he got infected with Bhasmak disease, which causes extreme hunger. He then quitted the monkhood upon the order of his acharya and was roaming in the country to cure his hunger. And then he found you, King, and this temple.
A Jain monk? That is why he does not bow down to Lord Shiva?
Yes, Lord. These Jains are too strict and do not bow down to any other lord but the Jinnah.
We must go and find out ourselves by approaching this Brahmin.
Yes, yes, Minister. Thank you, spies. Your services have been of great use. You shall be rewarded. Collect your rewards. Come, ministers, let us go and see that liar.
Furious, the king, with both his ministers, headed towards the temple. As they reached, they found the Brahmin meditating. Samantbhadra was doing samayik and was praising his true deity, Lord Arhanta, and the five permanencies. His Bhasmak disease was finally cured, and he was happy that he can again initiate into the Jain monkhood. The angry king waits for him to come out of the meditation. After a while, he opens his eyes. Looking at the furious king, Samantbhadra quickly predicts what must have had happened. A few citizens also gathered inside temple, seeing the king and ministers.
Brahmin is standing in one side and king and ministers on the other. Citizens are scattered.
Oh, Brahmin, how was your meeting with Lord Shiva today?
Well, King, it appears that Lord Shiva is not well these days. Today, when he came, he did not look much hungry and left food leftovers. You liar to the king? How could an idol eat food? You've been fooling all of us.
Yes, Brahmin, we have this. Who you are and what you have been doing all these days.
Oh, so finally sanity as wisdom has found you people. Of course idols can't eat. I did not fool any one of you. You were fools already. I just took advantage of that fact.
What? So the Lord Shiva never ate what we offered to him so religiously?
Think for yourself. How is it possible for a matter to eat? Do your cooking utensils eat your food that you keep it in? No. And why would your Lord Shiva, if he is Lord, need you to feed him? Is he poor? Does he not have anything to eat? You thoughtless fools.
How could you call me a fool, Brahmin?
Sorry, King, but you yourself proved that you are.
So you believe Shiva to be your deity?
Yes, he's not a deity. Not for me, not for anyone. Those who are burning with raga and dvesha themselves, how can they be happy? And if they are not happy, how could they be called Lord?
How does a true deity look like, if not like Shiva, then, O Brahmin?
A true deity is someone who is completely, truly happy. The one who is truly and eternally happy is the Lord Jinnah, the only deity I bow down to.
Why do you praise Jinnah? What does he have? What does he do?
Oh, I have heard about Jinnah. They have devas from Devgati coming to their Samosharan. They have so much of wealth, glory, and they walk on the air. So many devs always keep praising them.
Oh, nice citizen. Devagam Nabhoyana Chamaradi Vibhutaya Maya Vishvapi Drishyante Natas Tomasi No Mahan. I bow down to the Jinnah, not because he has devs coming from the heavens to serve him, not because he walks above the earth, and nor because he has so much of wealth in his Samvasharan. It is possible for any elusive being to own all of these. These glories don't make the Lord Jinnah adorable.
Oh, then must be. As he has celestial being-like body and supernatural internal and external qualities, that must be the reason that you adore him.
No, ministers. These qualities, if not by an elusive being, but could easily be possessed by the celestial beings. Thus, these qualities also do not qualify to be a reason for me to bow down to the Jinnah.
Oh, Brahmin, see, in our great scriptures, the Shiva is deity. In your scripture, Jinnah is deity. So for us, Shiva is true Lord, and for you, Jinnah is. Maybe you bow down to Jinnah because your scriptures tell you to do so.
O King, listen. Tirthakritya samayanam cha paraspar virodatha sarvesham aptatanasti kasha deva bhaved guru. There are so many writings and propagators of religious scriptures, and the teachings given by them are contradictory to each other. Thus, all of them cannot be true. Only one of them would be a true deity. Therefore, logically speaking, not all scriptures and not all religions could be true, because truth is always one and universal. Therefore, your argument is wrong in you. I do not adore my deity just because it is said to do so in Jain scriptures.
Then what qualities make a deity adorable? Tell us, O Brahmin.
Listen. Dosha varan yorhai nir nishe shastyati shayanat kvachadyata swahetubhyo bahirantar malakshaya. Just as in the world only the pure gold is admired, not the one with impurity, the greatness of the true deity lies in omniscience and complete detachment. The one who is without all the impurities, delusions, attachments, and aversions, and whose all the karmic mistakes, like Gyanavaran, etc., have been destroyed, is the true deity. Such is the true deity I bow down to.
Is it possible for someone to have omniscience? Why not? Whatever is known by inference is seen by somebody for sure. Just as we infer the presence of smoke, there must be a fire, somebody witnesses that fire as well. Likewise, the subtle, internal, and distant objects known by inference are seen by someone directly. This is how existence of omniscient is proved.
Okay, the omniscience is possible, but there can be no person who is completely detached and passionless.
No, it is possible to be completely detached and passionless. Just as in the world, impure goldstone, with the help of fire, becomes pure, discarding all internal and external impurities. In the same way, with the fire of meditation of pure self, a soul can be free from its blemishes and completely detached.
Yes, what you say sounds so true, and it fits to logic as well.
Therefore, I bow down to only one who is omniscient and passionless.
Citizens were finding the Brahmin's word very logical and started praising him for his assessment of the qualities of true deity. They were already praising the true Lord Jinnah amongst themselves. Left unanswered and insulted, the king gets aside with his ministers for a private session. The ministers were feeling insulted and revengeful. They encouraged king to avenge their lost pride by making Samanbhadra bowing down to Lord Shiva. King finds it rightful to do punish Samanbhadra. They resume.
O Brahmin, you are a Jain monk Samanbhadra. You cheated us all. You made a fool of us. No doubt you are great with your oratory, but here, those who insult the throne are punished. I hereby order you to bow down to Lord Shiva for deceivingly eating his share of offerings. It is your punishment.
O King, this head does not bow down in front of anyone but the Jinnah.
King did not order a death for you. You are lucky. Just bow down and leave happily.
My head is not a toy. It has its own pride, unlike yours. It does not bow down in front of the people who do not deserve to be bowed down to.
It's a king's order. You have to follow it.
I have no problem. In bowing down to the Lord Shiva. But I warn you all again. I am doubtful that your Lord Shiva would be able to digest my bow. Are you sure, King, that I bow down to him?
Yes, bow down. I take all the responsibility of what follows. You bow down to him.
Okay, good luck to your Lord. Here, this Jain believer, Samanbhadra, bows down to the idol of Shiva, yet bows down to the Jinnah. Here I go.
Satvameva si nirdosho yukti shastra virodivak avirodo yadishtam te prasidena bhadyate.
Look, look, the Shiva's idol is tearing apart. My goodness, is it an earthquake approaching?
Oh,
What is that thing resurrecting out of the torn Shiva idol?
It is the idol of Jina Titankar Chandrapab Bhagwan.
Oh, Lord Samantbhadra, we mistook you. Pardon us. Jina is the true Lord.
Yes, Jina is the truest of all. May long live the Jina.
Oh, king and citizen, I bow down to Jina because I have examined him myself. If you want to follow a deity, assess him for yourself. You cannot believe unless you assess yourself. May long live the Jainism.
Yes.
From that day on, the Tarkic Chakravarti Swami Samantbhadra reinitiated his spiritual journey of Jain sainthood, which, in its own pious tenure, shattered the pride of perverted orators of different religious thoughts. I roam about and roar like a lion for the exposition of religious truth. Come and debate with me, if you dare, was the precise introduction he devoted to himself. Long live Swami Samantbhadra Acharya. Long live Jina Dev. Long live Jainism.